Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Fed has cut a key interest rate with inflation easing. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
They want to balance the economy so that the economy is strong enough to grow and create jobs, but not too strong to create inflation.
Ukrainian President Zelensky says not only are North Korean troops in combat alongside Russians, but taking casualties. At the Pentagon, spokeswoman Sabrina Singh.
Putin is clearly desperate, having failed in his strategic battlefield objectives. So could we see more DPRK soldiers make their way to the battlefield, make their way to Russia for more training? We certainly could.
A dangerous wildfire continues to burn north of Los Angeles, fueled by strong winds. Thousands have evacuated.
It's hard to see the neighbor's house. I mean, I feel lucky that, you know, our house survived. The people across the street from us lost their house. They just moved in 2 weeks ago or so.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammy McCormick.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin's 2024 presidential election saw a near-record turnout. Stuart J. Wattles has the story.
About 72.6% of eligible voters cast a ballot, just shy of a 2004 record. The Wisconsin Elections Commission says about 3.4 million people participated in this year's election, marking the highest number of votes in the state's history. While the presidential race drew the most attention, fewer votes participated in down-ballot contests. About 30,000 fewer votes were cast in the Senate race and 193,000 fewer in the state's voting referendum.
Attorney General Josh Call, alongside a bipartisan coalition of 30 state attorneys general, announced Monday a $1.37 billion settlement agreement with Kroger. The settlement addresses the grocery chain's role in the U.S. opioid crisis. Wisconsin is set to receive up to $21.8 million in payments for opioid abatement. This puts Wisconsin at $780 million in total for national prescription opioid settlements. The number of Wisconsinites 75 and older is expected to increase by nearly 75% over the next 20 years, according to a study by Forward Analytics. That means by 2030, the state is looking at needing an additional 33,000 new beds just to keep our current ratio of essentially 194 beds for every 1,000 people over the age of 75. As of last year, the state totaled about 80,000 beds in nursing homes and assisted living facilities. There are still some open spots for the community conversations happening today from 4 to 5:30 at McMillan Library. You can participate in conversations about how we can make Wood County a healthier place for everyone. You'll need to register at healthypeoplewoodcounty.org. Space is limited. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Bucks and the Jazz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks and the Utah Jazz face off tonight in Milwaukee. Both teams struggling with 1-6 records. Is there pressure to finally snap this 6-game losing streak? Doc Rivers.
No, this is a positive group. Like, we believe we're a really good basketball team that has played poorly. You know, last two games, you can say we played well and lost the games.
The Boys and Girls State High School Volleyball Tournament is underway in Green Bay. The boys' final for the state title is tomorrow night at 7:30, Saturday night for the girls. NFL linebacker Preston Smith on why the Packers traded him to the Steelers.
To be honest, a few weeks ago, I requested a trade. I didn't feel like I was being useful in the system, and it wasn't catering to my play style. And moving forward, like, I wasn't surprised when I got the call. It's like, you know, I got what I asked for, and I'm at a great place with some great teammates, and, you know, I'm excited for the new start, and I'm excited for the rest of this journey for this season.
That's Steelers linebacker Preston Smith with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
A happy high-pressure system settles in today, clearing those clouds and allowing the sun to shine bright. High temperatures will reach the low 50s today with a southwest breeze. Then tonight, we fall crisp to near freezing. And for tomorrow, a warm-up. Under abundant sunshine, we reach the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, 53 degrees.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google, it says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a TGIF Friday edition of the show, a board game of the week by our own Aaron Zommers and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, November 7th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 4:30, we're going to welcome in our friend Kayla Rombalski, Community Development Educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Right now, in with us, our good friend Stephanie Hartman, Executive Director of the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Steph, thanks for being here. Appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me.
We have a lot to get into, discuss today. I want to start off certainly getting everybody set up for their holidays.
Yeah.
We have got your one-stop place to go for all of your holiday needs.
That's right. So starting at 10 o'clock this morning, our holiday gifts and art fair opened. We have over 50 artists, hundreds of items, all handmade. Everything you can think of, from very Christmas-themed items to just your everyday items that you can use, jewelry, you name it. We've got it.
There's such a wide variety of things over there. And Stephanie, where do these items come from?
So we, like I mentioned, over 50 artists. I think I would say 90% are Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, Nakusa, Port Edwards. We have one artist is from Waupun. She's new for us, and she does wood carvings that are absolutely beautiful. So you should stop in and check those out. We have a couple artists from Wausau as well, but it is primarily Central Wisconsin. So it's really amazing when you think that about 50 people in Central Wisconsin are so talented that they're showing their work at the Cultural Center and people will buy it for other folks or treating themselves.
You know, I know that I've joked about my mom for many years. She will only take unique items, locally bought items, those kind of things. That happened after about 20 years of just buying her Coca-Cola products.
Yeah.
Like, she just loved Coca-Cola. So me, my sister, my brother, every birthday, every Christmas, we're buying her this and this. And eventually it was kind of like, okay, it's enough. I got enough here and everything. Don't wait to get to that point with your parents, with your loved ones. If you're looking for something different, something unique, something that you can't find at any department store or Amazon or something like
that.
You're going to find that. And nobody out there doesn't love a unique gift or a gift that you just can't find anywhere else. The prices are very affordable, and that nowadays goes a long way as well. But with all of that being said, you are also doing something else with this. You are investing in your community. You are investing in the arts.
Yes.
I mentioned this a lot, and I will not stop until it changes. Wisconsin finished dead last in the union in funding the arts.
Yep.
It is on locals to be able to do these things. We are the ones supporting our art culture in the state. And when you buy things at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, you're getting these unique items. You are getting something very cool for your loved one. Mm-hmm. But you are also at the same time investing in your community, investing in our creatives, investing in our hobbyists, our you know, so many of our vendors and different people out there. A gray area in our society that oftentimes doesn't get looked at nearly enough. But in this community, we highlight these people. Whether it's our farmers markets or it's our Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, we highlight these people.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, like I mentioned, it's just amazing to me that we have so many talented people in this area that we can fill an entire gallery plus a gift shop full of things made by local people. And a really nice opportunity is happening this evening from 5:30 to 7:30. It's shop and mingle with the artists. So as many artists that it worked in their schedule, they'll be there tonight. So you get to meet the person cool. that made these items. Mm. So it will be a really great evening. Again, it's 5:30 to 7:30. But we are open for shopping after 10 o'clock today. So,
and keep in mind, this is free. It's open to the public as far as the meet and greet goes. It might be a really fun way also. I'm not at all speaking for these artists, just speaking for as a creative that is always, I'm a surviving artist. I work, you know, I'll take right? work wherever we can get it. Maybe if you have ideas pitching them or telling these artists about them, maybe you come up with something. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the artists have mentioned, you know, I can do custom work as well. So if it's not something that, you know, we have on the floor, as I say, there are many artists willing to make an item custom, and we can connect you with that artist and follow through with that.
Stephanie, how long do people have to head on over to the Cultural Center to check this out?
Sure. So this show goes November 7th through December 21st. We have special shopping hours now every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We will have really special shopping hours on Small Business Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Mm. And then we are open our regular hours Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. We would also allow folks to shop by appointment. Mm. So if at some point you think, gosh, I just can't get in there, give us a call. We have a lot of volunteers, and Heather and I as staff members, and we are willing to work with people.
Keep in mind the Holiday Gifts and Art Fair happening at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center going on till December 21st. It kicks off today at 10 o'clock. Be sure to check it out and head on over and check out the Shop and Mingle with the Artists opening night tonight. That is going from 5:30 to 7:30. Free admission, open to the public. Head on over to the Cultural Center. We'll give you more information before we wrap up. Where do you want to go next, Stephanie?
Well, next Saturday we have a special event called Storytime and Photos with Santa. Mm. So doors open at 10 for this event. Shopping still opens at 9, so don't fret. Mm-hmm. You can come shop at 9. Yeah. The doors open at 10 for the Santa event. The story will begin at 10:30. After that, we'll have crafts and activities until 1 o'clock. And we just ask for a $5 donation per child just to cover our costs of the activities and the crafts.
Yeah, and what a fun gearing up for the, you know, the real gamut and marathon of holidays here. I have to say I'm a little jealous. Pam and I have been trying to get Santa on Midday Magazine for years, and we can never land that guy. He's busy. He's got a very busy schedule.
Busy.
Nice job by you guys being able to bring in Santa. Well done. I'm a little jealous, Stephanie.
Yes,
nicely done.
We're very, very excited to have him, and we've had this Santa the last several years, and it's just fun to watch the kids interact. I think now that Halloween's over, people are shifting to Christmas. So next weekend, come and see Santa, have the kids get their list made.
You know, and that's I love all of this. I think these are always great, and pictures with Santa are always fun. The cookies are great. The making the letter, you know, and he's right there.
Yeah.
So you know he's going to get it. That's God, I'm so excited for these kids and for the opportunity for them to have with that. That's very fun. That's going to be a fun event. And again, that is coming up next Saturday, November 16th. Doors will open at 10.
Yes.
Okay. And the story will kick off probably around 10:30 is when everybody gets settled down and everything. Because,
yep.
You know, settling kids down, that'll take no time.
Yeah, right. Right.
But it sometime around 10:30, you want to get there by then probably at the
exactly.
very latest.
Exactly.
And that $5 donation is something that I got to imagine a lot of people are happy to give. You know, not only to be able to host this like you guys do and the cost that it takes to be able to do that, but again, that's $5 is an investment. You're putting back into your community. You're putting back into the cultural center and the work that they're doing over there.
Right. And we appreciate that. People are always very good about, you know, doing the donation. And then we have, you know, drinks and cookies for the kids and stuff like that. So we're just trying to cover a little bit of our costs. If there is someone that just can't do that $5, just let us know. And we'll make that happen.
Cool. That's very cool. And keep that in mind when it comes time to keep our cultural center, you know, going and everything, everybody, the way that they look out for our community and do things just like Stephanie just said there. I did want to touch on, too, the craft making. That should be a lot of fun for the kids. That's something that you don't see all the time with some of these events.
Yes, we have a project this year called the Snowman Project. Hmm. So they'll be putting together little snowmen. We have ornament crafts that they can do. Coloring pages. So hopefully there's something for everyone. You know, if you don't like to color, maybe you want to do something more intricate, then you would do the snowman project. So it'll be fun for them to have the opportunity, and they can do all three too.
Yeah. My mom's oldest sister, my Aunt Sherry, is a crafter, and she was a real estate agent by trade, but she loved to craft and loved creating things. She's so good at it. I've got a number of items of hers that I still have that she made when I was a kid that are still in great condition and everything. Cool. And I realized when I was a kid that I was not an artist. I'm a creative, but I'm not an artist. Sure. I tried to do the turkey where you paste your hand, yep. And somehow I messed that up. I don't know how, but my Aunt Sherry did that when she was a kid, and it told her, oh, I like this. Mm-hmm. And she spent the rest of her life creating and crafting and everything. When it comes to having these little kids craft things, they're fun for the kids and give them something to do, but you don't know what you might spark in that kid.
Right.
You know, and maybe a future crafter, maybe a future vendor, and doing something like that with their life.
Yes, and unfortunately, there's not as many opportunities in the schools as there used to be. So we do like to have events where kids have the opportunity to be creative, think outside the box, and it's fun to watch them. They kind of light up, and if Santa didn't make them happy, at least the crafts will.
Right up. And the cookies help. You know?
Well, that does help.
Story time and photos with Santa coming up next Saturday, November 16th. Doors will open at 10, story time at 10:30. Come on by and check it out. Photos and activities till 1 o'clock.
Yes.
And again, the $5 suggested donation, we greatly appreciate. And in part because of things where we keep our small businesses around, we want to keep our small businesses healthy in this area. We buy local, we support local. That is a mantra that every Wisconsin Rapids resident has in their head. We all try to do that. And one of the ways we're able to do that, a fun way we're able to do it, is Small Business Saturday, Stephanie.
That's right. So this is in cooperation with the Heart of Wisconsin. They will be providing passports to shoppers, and you can get stamps at each of the local places. So we will be open 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on that Saturday. It does go later than the weekend, so even that following Tuesday, you can come get your stamp. And then Heart of Wisconsin will have raffle prizes as well. So a good opportunity to check out all the local places, and besides your purchases, you might win something.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That the special gift idea is kind of cool there as well. This is one of those things that you can bring the whole family, bring the kids. It's going to be fun. They're going to have a craft table set up for them, it sounds like.
Yes. And I should mention that this year, probably more than ever than I can remember, we do have some items for kids in the holiday show. You know, we always have activities for them to do, but we've had a couple folks focus a little more on kids.
Cool.
And that's really fun. So it'll be some fun gifts.
That passport is a blast for everybody every year. They love doing this and filling that out. And every year I hear from people, I haven't been there in a long time, or I didn't know this was even here. So it's always a great and successful thing that the chamber does. That part of it's going to be a lot of fun. I mentioned bringing the kids along because this is something that's becoming more and more clear to me, and I think a lot of people out there, that these are great for us to do as adults. But when our kids see us doing these things, they are that much more inclined to want to do them when they become adults.
Absolutely.
And put back into their communities or buy local or some of these things. So it's not only a great chance for you and the kids to do something together. Families are always looking for more of those opportunities.
Right.
But while you're doing those activities, especially something like Small Business Saturday, we are going to multiple businesses and you're going to nonprofits as well as businesses in the area. You're showing these kids, this is what it is to be a local resident.
Yes.
This is what it is to put into your community. And how much fun that can be, how exciting that can be, and the cool things that you get from it. It's a fun event.
Absolutely. And I think it also, helps kids understand, like, oh, well, I could do that someday, mm-hmm. or I could make that, or, you know, I could try something like that. We have a couple folks in high school who have put things into the show. And I was just so pleased by that, that they were confident enough to bring their items in. So it does help them, you know, envision like what could be.
Yeah.
And that's what we need for kids to know, is that there's a future in a lot of different areas. And the arts is one of them.
There's so many kids that look at something and say, oh, I want to do this with that. I want to make this or I want to turn it in. And then there are the kids that want to create those things,
right,
and make those things. And there's such an opportunity here for them to be able to kind of pick up on this stuff, as well as putting into your community and supporting that. Yeah. Small Business Saturday kicks off Saturday, November 30th, 9 to 4. Swing in and shop and support the center and support your community. Buy local, support local, everybody. Your shopping hours that day, Stephanie?
That day is 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay.
So and a full day.
A full day for you guys. And that your schedule is going to be pretty consistent going forward with that, as you mentioned earlier in the show and everything.
Yes. So Saturday is 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then our regular business hours, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Speaking with Stephanie Hartman, Executive Director of the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. And Steph, got some upcoming exhibits coming up. I got some other things going on. Where do you want to go next?
Let's go to classes. We have some fun classes coming up. One of them does start Monday. So if you're interested, stop in or give us a call. But it's a reversible quilted tote bag class. Jermaine Pigeon is teaching that. It's really a great opportunity to learn sewing. We actually are providing some sewing machines, or you can bring your own if you already have a sewing machine. It will include instruction, patterns, pre-cut iron-on stabilizers, webbing for the handles, snaps, cutting mats, rotary cutters, rulers, pins, and many 2.5-inch fabric strips to choose from. And if you go on our website, we do have a couple examples on there so that you can see what we're talking about. But it's the coolest bag.
Yeah, it really is.
I want to make one of these.
You're not alone. They look pretty cool.
So it's a two-part class. The first part of the class is Monday, November 11th, 5:30 to 8:30. Part two will be November 14th from 5:30 to 8:30. So it's two parts. If you have questions, give us a call. And we really provide pretty much everything. Each student would need to bring 1 yard of fabric for the contrast lining. But that's the only thing that you have to bring as a student.
Steph, as far as like the skill level for somebody, like I was mentioning earlier, I'm no good at this kind of stuff. Could I take this class? Could I be a part of something?
You could. Jermaine claims that even a beginner can go ahead and do this class. Cool. So it's a good place for people to start if they have some interest in that. So
join
us if you can.
There is a limited class size, though, so you want to get on this early. You want to register right away.
That's right. We only have a couple spots left, actually, just based on our number of sewing machines and the classroom size. So if you are interested, maybe give us a call today and we can get you on that list.
Are you a fan of gingerbread, Stephanie? I like gingerbread. I didn't like it as much when I was a kid. I kind of like it now.
Yeah, I would
can't
agree.
Eat a lot of it. I can't eat a lot of it, but I do like it from time to time.
I would agree. I would agree. So we do have a gingerbread ornament class coming up. You can find that on our website. Another opportunity that's coming up that is truly like a once-in-a-lifetime experience that you can have is we have master painter Jacob Dine coming. Jacob resides in Spain right now, focuses on painting a variety of subject matters, and he teaches workshops internationally. He actually is from Wisconsin Rapids, went to Lincoln High School, and he is currently exhibiting at the European Museum of Modern Art in Barcelona, Spain. And he's been exhibited all over the world, United States, England, France, and Munich. And he was featured in solo exhibitions in Paris, France, San Francisco, California, Denver, Colorado. And he's participated in over 50 group exhibits. So he's very amazing. He will have a live model there that he will then do a painting demonstration.
Jacob's pretty accomplished.
He's a pretty accomplished guy.
I actually have wanted to get him on Director's Cut. I'd love to have a conversation with him. He's just an interesting guy. And his work, I growing up, really love art and just in taking it in. And I don't pretend to be an art expert by any means or anything, but I know a bit about it. And his style is unique. It's very unique to what he does. Yeah. And it's the kind of art to me that if you get a chance to see it in person, like it's one thing to see it online and it looks beautiful and I encourage you to do that. But to see it in person, that might be that's different.
I agree. And to watch it come together, that's kind of what I'm excited to watch is like, you know, how do you get started even? I'm not a painter.
100%.
I have no idea.
I'm looking at that blank slate. I'm like, I don't even know where to begin.
Right. Watch it come all the way to fruition where it's a finished portrait, I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
So that is Thursday, November 21st from 6 to 9. It's just $10 a person. You can register online or just call us at the Cultural Center and we'll put you on the list. And you can reach us at 715-421-4598.
It's going to be a really, really fun event. Encourage you to check that one out, everybody. That's
absolutely
going to be great.
Absolutely. And then we do have a ceramic mixed media ornament class also coming up. That's with Mary Mertis in our pottery studio. You would meet on Thursday, November 21st, Thursday, December 5th, and then you would drop in at an additional time to finish your ornament.
Kind of figure that out with the instructor.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it's only $35 a person, and you will actually pick five ornaments that you want to do. You can do all five the exact same, or you can choose from the five different styles, and we do have those pictured on our website. So again, that's November 21st and then December 5th, and then a time that you work out with the instructor just to finish with the wire. All supplies are provided. That, too, has a class minimum and maximum, so register early, and we'd love to have you take part in that.
And keep in mind this, like most of the classes over at the Cultural Center, skill level, all are welcome.
Exactly.
Whether you've been doing this since you were a kid or you've never done it before, you are exactly what they want. They want people that want to do this, want to enjoy it.
And our instructors are very patient. Mm-hmm. They'll take you from step one all the way through the finish, so... I know myself, not being the artist, I'm more the business side of things. You know, I always worry, and I have taken a few classes, and they just lead you right through it.
Good on you for doing the classes, though. Good on you. That's cool. Yeah, very good. Did you have one more for us?
I have one more that I want to talk about. It's a holiday mosaic tray class with Cindy Orzel. That also is a three-part class. In part one, you lay your glass down. Part two... you don't lay it down, you glue it down. Then in part two, you come in and you grout. And then in part three, you will clean your trays. So that will be held Monday, December 2nd, Wednesday, December 4th, Friday, December 6th, in the afternoons. And you can choose the candy cane pattern that we show online, or you can choose your own pattern, whatever you would like. We just ask that you have something in mind by the time that you come. Again, all supplies provided, all levels welcome.
Stephanie, if people want to find out more and reach out to you, how can they do that?
You can send an email to cwcc@culturalcenterarts.org. You can call us at 715-421-4598. You can check our website, which is updated daily. And for many of these classes, you can register online. So if you just want a quick register, pay, and be all set, you can do that online.
And you can do that at culturalcenterarts.com. That's culturalcenterarts.com. Or give them a call, 715-421-4598, 421-4598. You can also visit them and check out all these great events at 2651 8th Street South right here in Rapids. And follow them on social media as well, everybody, and share their stuff on your pages. Make sure other people see it. Stephanie, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you for having me.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you lined up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I've got a kid probably heading off to college in about a year and a half, and I'm doing everything I can to help her build her credit score. Now, one of the tips I was very excited to put into practice is adding my daughter as an authorized user on my most perfectly paid-off credit card account. The idea here is that credit card companies report the payment histories of everyone with a card in their name, including the authorized users. That way, your kid benefits from your good credit habits and the length of your credit history and gets a boost to their credit score right out of the gate. Now, the rub is that not all card issuers report all this info, so it's essential to check with your card and make sure they report. And remember, this goes both ways. Good credit behavior boosts scores, but any slip-ups like missed payments or late payments, that hurts them. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. In the meantime, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
The morning show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
The top-selling Halloween candies in every state over the past 17 years. Nicely done, Melissa. I'm not sure.
What, were you clearing your throat? What was that?
It was a macabre kind of.
It really was.
Why the 17 years? That seems a little.
That's arbitrary.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Candystore.com.
When they started making Halloween candy, guys.
Oh, yeah. 17 years definitely, ago. Definitely 17 years ago.
Weekdays from 8 to 10.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. If you received an envelope in September from the Wood County Clerk of Circuit Courts stamped with the red official mail and you didn't return it, you may be asked to appear before a judge. It's not for anything you've done wrong, but to see if you qualify to serve jury duty. Wood County sent out almost 3,000 juror qualification questionnaires for 2025. Less than 300 were not returned, and that's a fantastic return rate. Circuit Court staff have mailed out a second notice to the people who didn't return the first questionnaire. If you receive one of these envelopes, you'll need to fill out the questionnaire online, even if you think you don't qualify for jury duty. If you don't return it, the next step is an order to show cause hearing, and you'll have to appear in front of a judge. Senator Tammy Baldwin declared victory over Eric Hovde, but the count was close enough for Hovde to request a recount. In Wisconsin elections, the trailing candidate can demand a recount if the margin between candidates is 1% or lower. If Hovde does request a recount, what does it look like? Here's Chief Election Officer Megan Wolf.
They're going to bring in the election inspectors from each of the municipalities and then representatives from the political parties involved in that contest will be there. And then they're going to have a bipartisan recount board.
Since the margin is above 0.25%, the Hovde campaign would have to pay for the recount. Hovde has not yet called for this recount. Be ready for a lane closure on the Jackson Street Bridge in Wisconsin Rapids. This is due to the bridge lighting project of the city. The westbound lane closure started yesterday and will continue through Wednesday, November 13th. Westbound traffic is detoured onto 1st Street North, then onto Market Street, then 3rd Street South, before continuing onto the East Riverview Expressway. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. According to Yahoo News, Michael Jackson got into a fight with Tupac Shakur when he came to the defense of Khadijah Jones, daughter of recently deceased music icon Quincy Jones. Sources say Jackson was present when Tupac, who was dating Khadijah, called her the B-word. Jackson, who was like an uncle to Khadijah, had words with Tupac, then the two squared off, and supposedly Jackson got the better of him. It's unclear whether or not it was a dance-off. During an interview on Conan O'Brien's podcast, beloved actor Tom Hanks dropped one of George Carlin's 7 words you can't say on TV. Hanks used the 5th word in the 7-word sequence, well worth a Google, when referring to a critic who panned his new film, Here. Hanks added that the same critic panned his directorial debut years ago, That Thing You Do, and just a few months ago called it a cult classic. Hanks did have a lighthearted tone when he dropped the CS bomb to Conan and said, that's what we signed up for. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the mid-30s. Mostly sunny and a little warmer tomorrow, a high to the mid-50s. Then rain chances return for the weekend, highs near 50. Dry weather returns for Monday and on into Tuesday, with more rain possible into Wednesday. Currently 51 degrees.
Watch out! You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Having low income can mean making tough choices, choosing between paying for food or medication,
or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday, we start the first weekend without a Packer game in a while, but also the first weekend without political ads in a long time, plus Brittany Merlot's weekend forecast.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, November 7th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Maylove, here, and we're welcoming in our good friend, Kayla Rombalski, Community Development Educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Kayla, good to see you. Good to have you with us.
Good to see you, James, and flawless delivery of that very long name and title. I appreciate it.
All night. I mean, we love when you guys from Extension join us. We appreciate our relationship with Extension that we've had for many, many years. We think of our friends over there very often and really appreciate the time. One of the things that I enjoy is I feel like we get to cover areas that we don't always get to cover in everyday life.
Right.
And you picked one today that I don't think you could have had better timing for. And we're talking good things today.
Yeah. Exactly.
I love this.
There's lots of good news to share.
And, we're just going to go back and forth the whole show talking about good things.
Right.
Sunrises.
Yes.
No, I'm joking.
Yes.
But we are going to get a little bit into this one. And it's good. This is going to be a good segment. This is going to be a good talk.
Yeah, I'm excited for our conversation.
So where do we start with something like this, with a topic like that, Kayla?
Good question. So I think the first thing that I'd like to start with, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it, is that we, in Extension, lost a colleague 2 weeks ago at this point, had her funeral on Tuesday. So Jackie Caratini, for those that are longtime listeners of the show, will know that name. Jackie was with Extension for 25 years, and her loss is profound. And I wanted to start, so obviously, the topic of the show is good things, right? So why am I bringing up a death? Why am I bringing up something that's not good? Mm-hmm. But I wanted to start because our Extension team is in this studio every week, and just talk about the way that we've come together as a team and the importance of doing that in a loss, right? It's so important to lean on each other and to recognize the positives when you're dealing with any sort of loss, whether that's the loss of a pet, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job. Mm-hmm. I mean, really looking for the positives in life is super important. And I am just so blessed to be part of the Extension team that really has pulled together and is supporting each other, as well as Jackie, trying to support Jackie's family through mm-hmm. this difficult time.
I had Laura in last week, and yeah. I felt bad because I felt like I put her on the spot bringing this up.
Sure.
And so I didn't want to do that to you.
I appreciate that.
And here we are.
Right. Right.
But that's funny how things work.
Well, also like the cycle of grieving, right? Like
yes.
Last week, maybe I wouldn't have been prepared to talk about this.
Sure.
This
yeah.
week, I could do it without without getting too emotional.
I appreciate this so much because I have brought this up a number of times, and I want to bring it up any chance we get, especially with Extension, because Jackie was one of the early interviews I did, was one mm-hmm. of the people I cared more about when it comes to the people I've met in my radio life, and just enjoyed talking with her. We had so many conversations off air that it really hit home, and yeah. some that really, quite bluntly, changed my life. Mm-hmm. Her breathing technique, I do all the time.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until Jackie was talking about it and everything. And
right.
Her energy was impalpable. There is nobody that came in here and brought the kind of energy or excitement that she did, everything she was talking about. And I would not at all saying like I knew Jackie or anything, especially like you and your team did.
But you did.
But I mean, I knew her to a degree.
Every 6 weeks or so. That's And that's enough.
I do feel confident saying that Jackie would want us to be talking about these kind of subjects, good things, by reminding us of these things and staying positive and staying in a good energy.
And
that's a great way to honor her, I think.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. And that ties right into our topic today perfectly.
It does. It does. So lots of positive news to share. So for listeners that may not be familiar with my role with Extension, I am a community development educator. So I work very closely on a lot of economic development topics in the county and also across the region. And so when I say economic development, you know, that's kind of a big buzzword that has many different meanings. But the topics that I'm talking about, what it kind of boils down to is things like childcare, things like housing, things like entrepreneurship and supporting businesses, things like broadband and infrastructure access. And so there's been a lot of work happening in those subjects and a lot of exciting things to report out on. So
a lot of good things in each of these topics.
Good things. So we're going to start actually with entrepreneurship. So I'm going to go out of order. I'm going to throw James off a little
bit. Completely through. That's fine. That's cool.
So entrepreneurship is something that you and I, James, have talked about in the past on air a couple of times. Mm-hmm. We've had from Mid-State Technical College join us and talk about entrepreneurship. So this is something that we've been really actively working on in Wisconsin Rapids and also in Wood County as a whole. And the good news, the good thing to share is that Wisconsin Rapids has been selected to host the 2025 Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities Conference. This is a conference that is a statewide audience that will draw into Wisconsin Rapids. Last year was the first year that the conference was hosted in Wisconsin, but it's been hosted in other Midwestern states for many years. It was in Platteville last year, and we're so, so excited to bring it to central Wisconsin this year.
This is one of those things that I've been seeing. I've seen this before, but I didn't ever think about it being in our area. Man, is that a cool idea. One of the bigger topics on people's minds is certainly the economy. And it always is. It was long before you and I were born. It was when we were kids. It will be going forward. It's always on people's minds. One of the ways that we have seen over and over again, especially in rural communities, smaller communities, of them, you know, having a better economy or a healthy economy is supporting these young business people, these people that have an idea and they want to do something with it. Supporting that, not only is it good for certainly the business world as a whole and your local economies, but so many times these individuals don't forget their roots.
Exactly.
And when things get better and better for them, they give back and they put into their communities and so many other things. There's so many layers to something like this, and we get to have it right in town. That's cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. We are so excited. So it will take place in downtown Wisconsin Rapids. And it's a really unique conference. It's one that does not take place in a conference center or, you know, a hotel ballroom. It's one that encourages participants to get into the community that's hosting it. And so it'll take place across downtown Wisconsin Rapids. We'll have sites potentially at the library, at the movie theater, maybe at Bee's Tap House, you know, kind of spread out through downtown. We'll also be hosting this conference during Cranberry Blossom Festival. So it'll be a great way for those that are attending from out of town, from out of the area, to see what a wonderful event that is and to highlight all that makes Wisconsin Rapids and central Wisconsin great. So to highlight that cranberry industry particularly.
I know that there are to the aspiring and entrepreneurs out there that live in our Wood County area. How can they or can they be a part of this?
They absolutely can, and we hope would be a part of this. So they can attend. They can also there's a lot of planning that's going to happen between now and June. So they can certainly join our planning team and take a more active role. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I said this, but the conference is June 19th to 20th, 2025.
Okay.
Right. I think I'm ready.
All right. Kayla, I wanted to continue with some of the entrepreneur conversation here, because this certainly hits our area, but it's also includes, you know, local areas as well. Marshfield, Wausau, anybody out there that wants to be a part of this?
Yes, absolutely. So we know that entrepreneurship is really something that happens on a regional level, right? It's not something that happens in silos of communities. And so for this conference particularly, we are excited to highlight Central Wisconsin as a whole, not just Wisconsin Rapids. So Wisconsin Rapids may be the host city, but I view this as something that will highlight our entire region. And so we do look for support and for involvement from other communities as well.
That's going to be a fun event. Now, when is that? Is there going? I see that there's a Founders Network. They're hosting kind of a meeting of this.
First. Yep. So this is coming up on November 21st. This event is also focused on entrepreneurship, a little bit different than the conference. But still really focused for local entrepreneurs who are aspiring or emerging. It's a networking opportunity. It'll be hosted at the Coven, which is kind of a cool new business in Marshfield, from 5:30 to 7 on November 21st. And we encourage those same groups, right? Those same entrepreneurs, those same folks that are interested to come out and participate.
We'll be telling you more about this as we get closer to it. Just be sure to save the dates, June 19th and 20th, and meet us in downtown Wisconsin Rapids for this fantastic event. Looking forward to this one. And again, we'll tell people more about it as we go forward. If people want to register right now or anything, can they do that, Kayla?
So registration is not available yet. Okay. Registration for that Founders Network event that
I just mentioned.
One is available. So they can go to probably easiest to just search for Founders Network on your favorite social media platform or on Google, and that'll pull it up for you.
Good way to do that.
Yeah.
And Kayla, we've got a bunch of good stuff to talk about. Which one are we talking about next?
Let's go to childcare next.
All right.
So we'll keep the good news rolling. So I've been in here a couple of times talking about the work of the Child Care Task Force, the Wood County Child Care Task Force, and I am really pleased. I am really pleased to announce that the County Board of Supervisors and the ARPA Ad Hoc Committee has approved the use of $500,000 in ARPA funds to support child care. So this is a really great infusion of dollars into our child care industry. Will help allow for additional slots and additional children to come off of waiting lists and actually get into child care, quality child care in our area. So it's a huge, huge win for parents, for child care providers, and for those that are supporting young children in our communities.
Whether I'm talking with Representative Krug or Senator Teston, any individual really, even going back with a lot of extension guests we've had, I maintain, and I have the numbers to back this up, I don't think there is a bigger issue in our communities than child care.
Right.
It ties into so many other things. There's a domino effect of what it does into so many other things, whether we're talking about economy or almost any other topic. To hear any good news about childcare, you got me right away.
Yeah.
And the audience is excited right away. But this is big.
This is huge. And it's a long time coming,
yes,
right? So we've had our child care task force in Wood County has been having conversations about this for the better part of 2.5 years. And so this infusion of dollars is really going to support the efforts of that child care task force and support our child care business owners.
Which is going to go, honestly, researching this topic as much as I have and seeing this, I'm not even sure how to explain all the good impacts this will have on those local child care facilities.
Right.
If you just focused on one thing, like they're being able to have one more set of kids or something
right.
like that. Like
right.
that is gigantic. That's one family that is now able to go into the workforce a little bit more or have
exactly.
a little more freedom or anything. That's one set of kids that are getting a little bit more, you know, out there experience, meeting new friends. There's
yes.
so many layers to this.
Yeah.
It's so important and it's
right.
such good news. That's
yes.
really cool.
Yes. So that $500,000 will be used mainly for two projects. The first is a shared services network. So when we look at child care centers, many of them operate as independent businesses. They don't have the same benefits that many of our school districts do mm-hmm. in the sense that they're a larger entity. So when they are purchasing things like baby formula, cleaning supplies, toys, all of those items they're purchasing as an individual or as an individual business. And so what we did some research in and found some best practices from other communities is looking at what if they were able to compile their buying power, so to speak, and get bulk discounts from coming together as childcare providers to be able to offer
such an idea.
Greater services across the board. So that's what we're going to pursue. There's a lot of interest in that from our childcare centers, obviously, because it's cost savings. And those cost savings then translate directly to staff. You know, we know that childcare workers are historically underpaid. And so being able to give them additional funds, being able to cut some of the costs for parents, anything that we can do to support our childcare centers is going to affect those two things. So that's part of it, and that will be a long-term sustainable piece. And then the other part of it is actually giving those funds directly to child care centers that are in need. So as we look at things like startup and expansion funds, being able to support child care centers that maybe they have a room in their facility that they could use for another classroom, but for whatever reason, it's not able to be used. So there's a lot of legality and regulations around what can actually be a childcare classroom. If they were able to make some changes, perhaps have a you know, grant available to them, they could open another classroom and bring kids off a waiting list. So that's kind of the plan for those funds. And ultimately, again, that goal is to get kids off waiting lists and to get them into quality care.
That's fantastic. I look, very excited for our communities when it comes to this. That's a really good one, Chad. Thank you for bringing that to us, Kayla. You want to go to housing next?
Yeah, let's go to housing. So a lot of exciting news in housing as well. We are wrapping up the housing chapter of the Wood County Comprehensive Plan. So this chapter acts as a standalone housing study for the county. And what we've been doing with the support of our North Central Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission, shout out to Sam at the RPC. He has been an amazing support to us as we go through this work. What we've been doing is taking census data and all of the data that actually is like compiled for our region and actually using that side by side with real, not real is not the right term, but with actual qualitative data that we've received back in surveys. So looking at, okay, here's what the you know, the national statistics say or what the census data says, and here's what we're actually hearing from our local residents. And so we've been able to put that data side by side and get a really good picture of what housing looks like in Wood County. And as with childcare, you know, so much of it comes down to access. Is it even available? So that's a childcare thing as well. But with housing, access, is it even available? And then affordability. If it is available, can you afford the home or can you afford the the rental unit? And so we're really looking at that and trying to increase both of those things, right? We want to increase affordability and making sure that we have homes that are affordable at every level. So when I say affordable, I don't just mean low-income housing. I mean, also, we know that we have workforce housing or we have folks that are looking maybe to move out of that starter home and into the next level of house, making sure that that's available at every level and priced right at every level.
That is monumental. That is huge. Anything that creates more maybe new future homeowners or helping a homeowner, current homeowners, any of the above, that's a wonderful bit of good news for us right there. That's great. Kayla, as we're wrapping up, we certainly want to talk about broadband as well, another topic that you and I touch on from time to time.
Absolutely. Yes. So in broadband, exciting news is that BEAD funding dollars are coming down from the federal government and also from the state of Wisconsin. So BEAD stands for Broadband Equity, Access, and Deployment. And what we're looking at is essentially internet for all with our broadband effort. So we want to make sure that everyone, regardless of where you live in Wood County, from Marshfield to Wisconsin Rapids to Pittsville to everywhere in between, that you have solid access to high-speed internet. And we have mapped the county. We have a really good picture of what that looks like. There are some enforceable, I won't get into all of the acronyms, but there are some enforceable funding commitments that cover the majority of the county with our broadband service. And then we're looking at just one small area that's west of Marshfield that will also be covered through an ISP. So within the next couple of years, and broadband infrastructure takes time, right? Yeah, it's putting fiber in the ground. It's trenching. Yeah. It's actually like putting in the infrastructure. So unfortunately, it's not something where we can just let someone have internet overnight, right? But within the next couple of years, so by 2028, in a lot of cases, so 4 years from now, we should have a much better broadband infrastructure within the county. So looking at folks that are currently being serviced by Starlink or by, you know, satellite type providers will have, in most cases, broadband to their home. And that's a huge win. That's a really good thing.
Yeah, really is. We've touched on the importance of broadband and good internet and internet reliability. And when it comes to how our society is going, where it's just more and more leaning on to technology, leaning on to the internet, this just becomes more and more important. And as we have touched on before, it becomes even more important in some of these areas that need it the most and that have not had it. That's not just a good story. That's game changer. That's right. A game changer right there. But in fact, when I think now that I'm thinking about everything we've talked about today, these are all game changers. These are all really big things. There's good things. I think you might have undersold this. These are really great things. These are great things, Kayla. This was a really fun conversation. And we touched on so many wonderful things. There may be follow-ups to some of this stuff. If people are curious, they want to know more, ask you some questions, how can they get in touch with you?
Of course. So they can find my lovely picture and face on the Extension Wood County website. So if you go to Wood County, .gov and scroll to the Extension page, you'll find us there. You can also find us, we've got a social media presence. So if you're a Facebook user, you can find us on Facebook. I think sometimes I joke with you, James, you can send a carrier pigeon. I respond to a lot of different ways of communication. So please reach out.
How are your Morse code skills? How are
they're a bit rusty. Probably use some
help. Stick with email.
There we go.
Better. But Kayla, thank you. Say hi to the team over there for us.
Will do.
We appreciate you guys so very much. Thank you for the
wonderful
time.
Thank you, James.
And thank you for the good things.
Of course.
We will have more Midday Magazine lined up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. WFHR, we are locally grown radio.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Alba Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will be recombobulating yet again with Dan Schaefer. Lots of stuff to process yet. I hope you will join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Maggie Dawn Show.
The right-wing nut pastor named Joel Webbin.
What God's word says is be quiet.
I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed.
Hashtag me too. All you have to do is publicly execute a few women who have lied.
What? Let's dissuade women from reporting rapes by putting them to death.
Only a few women. Preferably the really loud ones.
Hey, do I rate?
You absolutely... I was going to get there.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Fed announced today it's cutting a key interest rate, and Fed Chair Jerome Powell says despite the election results, he's staying put for now. Reporter Jason Brooks.
Powell told members of the media following the Fed's quarter-point rate cut that he will reject any requests from President-elect Trump to resign as Fed chief, adding that the election will have no effect on central bank policy decisions.
President Biden addressed Americans today for the first time since the election. Spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre said his message was clear.
The president understands that he's going to respect the will of the people. That's what he understands. He understands that the American people made a decision, and he's going to respect that.
A dangerous wildfire continues burning north of Los Angeles, where thousands have evacuated.
The fire danger remains extremely high. This is still a very active fire and very unpredictable.
Dozens of homes have been destroyed. The cause is unknown. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Here's some good news. Community Stories starts on November 12th. It'll air on WFHR on Tuesdays from 5 to 6 with me, your host, Melissa Kay. For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin's 2024 presidential election saw a near-record turnout. Stuart J. Wattles has the story.
About 72.6% of eligible voters cast a ballot, just shy of a 2004 record. The Wisconsin Elections Commission says about 3.4 million people participated in this year's election, marking the highest number of votes in the state's history. While the presidential race drew the most attention, fewer votes participated in down-ballot contests. About 30,000 fewer votes were cast in the Senate race and 193,000 fewer in the state's voting referendum.
Attorney General Josh Call, alongside a bipartisan coalition of 30 state attorneys general, announced Monday a $1.3